It's the TEH Podcast, episode number 230, with Leo Notenboom of AskLeo.com and Gary Rosenzweig of MacMost.com. This week, Apple buttons. Are AirPods hearing aids now? Windows Force upgrade.
Hey, Gary. How's life?
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah, here too.
I spent some time this morning playing with radios, of all things. I think you know that I volunteer for a local organization that goes out and tries to help animals that are in distress. And one of the things the reason I ended up hooking up with that organization is because they use ham radio, or they claim to. In the 10 years I've been with them, we've used it twice. But yeah, it's fun stuff. Anyway, we have topics. You in particular have a lot of stuff to talk about.
It's
so let's dive right into it.
It's my busy time of year. This is like, if I was an accountant, this would be like the beginning of April, right? It's Apple traditionally, you know, has two announcements in the fall, an iPhone oriented one, and then usually a Mac oriented one. And they release all their new operating systems. So all the new features need to be talked about. And I do a course on like the new Mac features. I mean, busy, busy, busy. So they had that first big announcement, the iPhone-oriented one, this week on Monday. And as expected, they announced, here's all the new iPhone stuff, iPhone 16, and usually the Apple Watch comes with it. Here's the new Apple Watch stuff. And this time they also did a round of updating all the AirPods. Besides that, there really wasn't too much. There weren't any surprises. There were no, like, here's the new iPad coming out. There's no new Mac stuff. Nobody was expecting that. Maybe at the end of the month or in October, you might get some new Macs or something. And, like, no big surprises of a completely new product or whatever. Like, this is Apple's biggest product by far, has been for a long time now, the iPhone. So just saying, here's this year's new iPhone is actually pretty big when it comes to all things Apple from a customer standpoint, financial standpoint, all that. And yeah, they didn't disappoint with, their announcements. But each product kind of like moved some steps forward. And there's really not much for us. I think anybody listening to this show knows, oh yeah, the iPhone 16 came out and all of that. But there were some interesting footnotes on what Apple did and what's really changed since, before the announcement to now. One of the things that I think most people didn't know about, unless you paid really close attention to some of the deep dive rumor stuff, was the addition of another button to the side of the iPhones. So for years, Apple really was trying to be like, fewer physical buttons. They even had a big button on the iPhone called the home button that for years and years was there, and even got Touch ID and everything on it for fingerprint sensor. And then they got rid of it in favor of just making the screen cover everything and then making it an on-screen control where there's a bar at the bottom you can swipe up. So, it looked like what Apple would really want to do is maybe get rid of all buttons. I wouldn't have bet against Apple doing that a couple of years ago, having no buttons on the iPhone whatsoever, everything controlled by the screen, even like Touch ID being behind the screen somehow. But they went the other way last year when they added a button to the iPhone 15 Pro called the Action button, just an extra button on top of the volume up and volume down buttons. And it's just a tiny little button that just gives you an action, and you could customize it and set it to what you want. You want it to turn on the flashlight, you could do that. You want it to take a picture, you could do that. A bunch of different things, and you could highly customize it with shortcuts, the little like macro programming stuff inside of the iPhone. You do all sorts of crazy stuff. And they only gave it to the Pro phones. So, but it was definitely like, oh, they're taking a step back from this. They've now actually added a new button to the phone. And with this year's iPhone 16s, they first thing they did is they took the action button, they put it on the regular phone. So now it's across all the phones, the iPhone 16 and the iPhone 16 Pro. Then they added another button called the camera control, and they put that on all of the phones. So now you've got a whole host of buttons. You've got action button, volume up, volume down, camera control, and then the regular wake sleep button on the iPhone, which is like on the other side. And it is a lot of buttons all of a sudden, it feels like. The camera control is interesting because it's not a simple button. The first thing that makes it different than all the rest is it's flush to the body of the phone. It's not sticking out, which I'm sure thrilled all of the case makers who were like, how do we deal with this? How do we? Because we can't, you know, with a button that comes out, it's like, well, we could actually make it so that you press on the case and the case presses on the button. With a flush button, it's like, okay, how are the cases going to allow you to actually like get your thumb onto this button? Like they're going to have to create like just a little carve out of the case. So when you put your finger on it, you're actually touching the button and not hovering above it.
I wonder
So
if
anyway.
they'll be putting in the other thing I've seen in some cases is where there will be I don't know what you want to call it, but a little flexible bump in the case.
Well, that's what they do with the bigger buttons.
But
And
no,
reason,
even with the flush button, this would work, right? It's
yeah,
it.
no, it won't, because it also is a touch sensitive button. It's
Ew.
not just a button you press. You could
Ew.
swipe it up and down.
Oh, jeez.
So the and it's the reason it's called the camera control is imagine, and I know like me, you use, you know, regular cameras. You probably have your main camera is probably mirrorless now, but I know people still refer to, you know, what do you call like a big camera? DSLR is what we called it for a long time, but that's technically not describing mirrorless cameras like the new one I have. So, you know, whatever, a big camera, right? You've got a lot of dials, and we're used to doing things like changing the ISO or the aperture, you know, by basically turning one of these dials. It's like a version of that. So not only can you touch it to like do a press, but you could slide your finger along like it's a dial. And it works with the camera app to first slide along and select what you want to do, like say aperture. So you slide over to the aperture setting. And then I'm not sure because obviously I've never used one, but then I would assume you lift your finger up off of that and then tap down again. And now you're adjusting the aperture left and right like it's a dial, even though it's flat. So it's supposed to give this very camera-like feel to making all these adjustments with, you know, your finger on the side of the iPhone rather than actually looking at the screen and trying to figure out what, like, where to touch the screen to do all of this. So that's going to make it hard for the case makers, but it's an interesting control because it's not a simple button. It's basically an area that you can tap and slide along, like a two-dimensional button
When you
instead of
slide
a
on it,
one-dimensional.
you said a moment ago, front and back. Is it an up and down and front and back
Well,
slide,
no,
or?
it's just along the side. So it is two-dimensional, right? But if you're holding the iPhone like a camera, the idea is you're kind of going side to side. But when you're holding the iPhone like normally, like you would hold a phone, you'd be going up and down.
Up and down,
So yeah, it's going in that just a single dimension along the side of the phone. It's used for camera, but and Apple demonstrated other apps can use it. They even showed Snapchat, for instance, allowing you to use it for its camera functionality. And they said other third-party apps can access this, use it like a regular control. So theoretically, another app could use it for non-camera things. A game app might use it as a game control, or you know, some sort of other completely different app may use it to scroll up and down or change options or who knows what. Which is fascinating, and it's even more fascinating considering they put it on all of the models, because typically when Apple adds something like an action button, it's only, you know, it's only on the Pro models, so developers don't want to use it because, well, it's only a subset of the iPhone users. But now anybody with an iPhone 16 or better in the future will have this camera control, and that will be interesting. And it's interesting that Apple suddenly loves physical controls and buttons, that they've gone back on trying to go towards fewer buttons, everything on screen,
It
to
is
more
funny because
buttons.
when I saw, you know, some of the initial, I didn't dive into it deeply because I knew we'd be talking today, but I did see that Apple had added a button to the phone, and you know, I did a double take because, like you said, I thought they were in the process of trying to go for fewer buttons, not more.
It's interesting. It's definitely there's some people have changed their minds there. They're definitely still going with the idea that the screen should take over the full side of the phone, right? And you know, trying to make, you know, obviously the camera hole has to be there, I'm sure they're still trying to work on getting rid of that completely. But the idea is they're not adding these buttons to the front, they're adding them to the side. So the idea is like, okay, the sides are fair game, and the screen is not. The screen should eventually be like edge to edge and have absolutely no space to the edge there. So anyway, it's interesting. It's not compelling enough for me, who's on odd-numbered iPhones. I only buy the odd-numbered iPhones. To jump ahead and get this one, I've 13, 15, and the next one will be 17. I still feel that my iPhone 15 Pro is pretty new. And actually, I lucked out a lot because when Apple decided to introduce a lot of these Apple Intelligence features, they put a cutoff for the iPhones and said, well, we're going to support the iPhone 15 Pros for everything, but not the standard iPhone 15. So since I got an iPhone 15 Pro, I should still be for the next year covered with just about anything Apple comes out with. So that's good. Getting the Pro was, I think, $100 or maybe $200 more, and it future-proofed me for a whole year. Well worth it. So that's good. But I'm sure I do want to, go to the Apple store and see if I could play around with this button just so I get a feel for what it does and how it works with the camera. And I'll probably be jealous for a while of anybody that has one. But I've got my new, it'll be good because if I got it, I would probably start playing around with it and neglect that new Sony camera I mentioned last week that I got. And I really want to spend a lot of time like focusing on learning how to master that camera. So anyway, so the next interesting thing is that Apple, in addition to iPhones and Apple Watches, they also refreshed their whole AirPods line. And AirPods is interesting because it definitely revolutionized the headphone space, right? When they came out with their weird AirPods, the first generation, got laughed at for like a year until just suddenly everybody had one, and then everybody else was imitating them. And it's really changed that whole space. One of the things that people have been fascinated with for the last couple of years, because I probably did a video like 2 or 3 years ago on this, is how you can use these AirPods, which reminds some people of hearing aids, because just the way they just put them in your ear and they're just sitting there in your ear. You can use them as hearing aids, kind of. First, they were introduced as a really basic. Like you could use your iPhone's microphone and it could take sound, do voice isolation, and then pump it to the AirPods. So you could do cool stuff like put your iPhone down in front of the TV, like in front of the speakers in front of the TV, sit back on the other side of the room, and then hear what was on the TV if, say, you had hearing issues, right? A lot of people love that. And then they got more serious with some of this stuff and allowed features where you can actually use the AirPods. It's kind of like hearing aids now. With the new AirPods Pro, the Pros are the ones that have the silicone tips, so they seal in your ears for better noise cancellation and stuff. The new ones, Apple's making the leap and saying they're getting them certified as clinical hearing aids. So no more hearing aid-like device. It will be an actual hearing aid. And I know a lot of people are excited about this. Every time I talk about it at MacMost with one of my videos, people want to know how it's done and all. And I know why. It's because hearing aids are, number one, outrageously expensive.
Although they've gotten better in recent years for a
They've
couple of
gotten
reasons.
better.
We'll talk about that too.
Maybe. Yeah. But and also I know so many people, the generation ahead of me, that have gone on to hearing aids, and I don't know a single one of them that's satisfied with the product. And we're talking about like medical devices, going to the doctor, getting it fine-tuned, waiting weeks for some reason after it's fine-tuned to receive their fine-tuned hearing aids, and all of that, getting them, and then just being like, what's the point? They're not, it's not that much better. I didn't even bring them with me today. I don't have them in, I don't have them turned on, the battery runs out, all this stuff. I mean, so many complaints from every single person I know that's ever had them. I'm not saying everybody's dissatisfied, but it just seems like a lot of
A
people.
lot of them are, yep. Yep.
And we're talking about prices. Like the most recent person I was talking to that had them, you said the prices went down. Anyway, they paid $5,000. So, I
Yikes.
mean, maybe they got
So
ripped off. I don't know.
the thing that changed is a couple of years ago, they changed. It was used to be you needed, essentially, you needed a prescription.
Yeah.
Right. So there was no such thing as an over-the-counter hearing aid. That changed and some competition finally entered the market. And yes, multi-thousand dollar hearing aids were common when it was prescribed. Excuse me. But my understanding is that there are absolutely hearing aids under $1,000 now. Whether they're any good, I can't say. But the market has definitely opened to some competition. And I suspect that that's exactly what Apple is taking advantage of, that you no longer need a prescription to get hearing aid iPods.
Well, so the thing is that, they're expensive and insurance often does not cover them.
Right.
Which shocks people in my generation, but you know, people in that generation are like, oh yeah, I've known about that because their friends have gotten them. So when they go to get them, they're just like, okay, I guess I'm going to get them. I'm going to shell out money. I do know somebody else that spent $2,000 recently on them. And it was just like, well, doesn't insurance cover that? No, absolutely not. Even though there are a lot of studies coming out now saying that it's not just about being able to hear people.
Yes.
Like having difficulty hearing accelerates senility, dementia.
Right.
It also it brings about depression and all of this stuff, which seems really obvious, especially the depression thing. I could see older people looking very frustrated and depressed when they are left out of conversations or not able, they don't feel like they could participate in social situations because they simply just can't hear.
And it's one of those things where this is yet another case of health insurance in general, in the United States specifically, being honestly just horrible. You know, expensive, and you don't really get the coverage you need, etc. I mean, I could go on a rant for that for quite a while, just because there's a lot of cases of it. But yes,
So Apple, I mean, Apple's business, I would say, almost has been disrupting industries. Like the initial thing Apple did in the 70s was say, you don't need a computer the size of a room.
Right.
You could, for $2,000. You could buy an Apple II and it could sit on a desk in your den, you know, in the 70s. And then Apple saying, you know, you don't need, you know, you could have this iPod instead of, you know, whatever you're doing for music and carry all your music with you, you know. And then, you know, the same thing with like the phones, like your phone doesn't just have to make calls and text. It could be this whole little mini computer. And they just constantly go and do that, even with other stuff like Apple Pay. For instance, pushing forward the whole industry of like transactions can be secure. They're just the financial community just doesn't seem to care. We'll do it. And then it moves it forward. Tons of things, even retail stores. I mean, the Apple stores were weird when they started, but now they've been imitated so often and aspects of Apple stores have been used by other companies that the Apple stores no longer look strange. They look like kind of normalish stores. High-end stores. It's because other high-end stores have adopted the same techniques.
Right.
Apple keeps doing this, even with things that Apple doesn't even do. Like people forget that, like their first laser printers, mass-sold laser printers, were Apple.
I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. Apple had a digital camera out before anybody else. You know, Apple sometimes just does these things, normalizes them, and steps back. I even read an article about the Apple Airport, a base station, how it was kind of like this, you know, it was one of the first like consumer Wi-Fi networks you could set up. And then quickly, of course, really tons of really cheap ones came on the market. But Apple kind of created one that was just in a vacuum and got the Mac users to be like, yeah, we could do Wi-Fi before a lot of other people did. And then they backed off and said, yeah, we're not in that business anymore. This is another case of that where Apple's might be stepping in and saying hearing aids. Hearing aids are something that almost all people will experience if they live long enough. We have this device, these AirPods, that could be used for hearing aids. And in some cases, the parts are better than what are in hearing aids. And we're just going to go ahead and just make them hearing aids for $250. That's what AirPods Pro cost. So they're not just doing it as like, oh, there's a button and now it's a hearing aid. It's like a full suite of things. There's like a hearing test. You could self-test this hearing test with them and keep doing that and track your, you know, hearing loss over time, measure it. It creates a profile of your hearing, like how you hear, and can use that on the AirPods and on other devices through your account. It's going to be a whole suite of things that I think is just basically just Apple stepping in and upending this industry here. I, for one, as somebody that likes to be kind of self-reliant on stuff like this, I dread stuff like the day I need hearing aids, because then I'm going to have to rely on regular doctor's appointments and a company and my insurance or whatever to maintain this piece of technology in my ears where I want to do it.
Right.
So having something like AirPods available to me where I can do it, I can buy these AirPods, I can tweak the settings, and I can kind of, you know, hack my hearing with them is so exciting to me.
A couple of observations on the market.
Yeah.
Or on the application. I've long thought that you shouldn't necessarily need to stick something in your ear to have a hearing aid. By that I mean, and I have actually done this. I'll explain how in a minute. I've got Bluetooth over the ear headphones. In fact, they're my noise canceling headphones. They're great. I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. Why can't I use those for hearing aids? Mm. Well, it depends on what kind of stuff you're actually doing to the sound as it comes through. I'm assuming that much of what Apple is doing here is a lot of algorithmic work that allows them to deal with frequency ranges, and you mentioned voice isolation earlier, and a number of interesting things that they can apply to make sound better. But it's been possible for years, because I've done this, to have an app on your phone that is nothing more than an amplifier. It simply takes what it hears and plays it to whatever audio device is connected louder. And that too, all by itself, seems like it was a missed opportunity, because, like I said, a lot of what people are interested in, yes, it'd be nice to have the advanced features of something tuned to your specific issues with audio, but just making things louder is such a big thing, such a huge thing that can enable a lot of people to interact in environments that they normally can't. So the combination of, you know, this has been around for a while. There are amplifier apps on my phone. I just took a look in the Google Play Store, and they work with whatever listening device you happen to have connected. So I think it's great that Apple's doing this. I really do. And I'm hoping a lot of other places will follow, as you expect. But I'm kind of surprised that some of this hasn't already been obvious, I guess, is what I'm leading up to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I would guess that a lot of this, there's amplification, but voice isolation with that. So only amplifying the voices,
right,
but also noise cancellation. So it's doing the opposite with things that are background noise.
I know one of the common complaints that hard of hearing folks have, and this was absolutely true for my father, was having a conversation in a crowded restaurant.
Yeah.
Right. There's lots of background noise. They are conversations, but they're not the conversations you want to hear. That's a difficult problem to solve. And yeah, that would probably take advanced work in an actual true hearing aid. It's more than just amplification.
Yeah,
but
sure.
That's the problem that I think a lot of people would love to see solved.
Yeah, there's that. And I wouldn't be surprised too if there's something that has to do with when you speak, because already you can do this thing, or maybe it's not already, but it is part of one of the features that you'll be getting with all the new operating systems and all, is this idea that you could have noise cancellation turned on. And then when you start to speak, it recognizes that you're talking and it lowers the volume of what you're listening to, and does voice isolation and makes you be able to hear yourself and the person you're talking with. So it's doing a whole bunch of different things there. And I'm guessing that that's also a problem, I think, with these hearing aids sometimes, is also factoring in the being able to hear yourself speak at the proper volume, not having yourself too amplified because you're right there, but not having yourself canceled out either, which could help, you know, hurt your speech. AirPods do this great thing, or the AirPods Pro do this great thing called transparency mode that showcases a lot how much more advanced it is than noise cancellation. Because noise cancellation, more or less, right, is just taking the having microphones on the actual AirPods or headphones or whatever you've got that listen to the sound that around that's outside, and then you're listening to music or a TV show or whatever, and then canceling out the sounds from outside into your ears, basically like negative sound to cancel those out.
Yep.
It's a simple technology that goes back a couple decades. But transparency mode, what that actually does is it takes that same sound and it actually lets that pass through to your ears. Even though your ears are sealed, it feels like you're not wearing anything. Like it feels like you don't have them in. So if I were to turn off the music, the sound I hear sounds like if I don't have my AirPods in. Then when I play music, I continue to hear the sounds around me and I hear the music also, which gives the sensation when I first heard it of having like a radio with a speaker with you that's playing music and perhaps having two speakers that are like 3 feet from your ears. So you hear a combination of sound around you and the speakers from outside. But the only weird thing being nobody else is hearing that music, only you.
Right.
It's a really weird sensation. And when I first heard it, it feels like it's actually amplifying sounds around you. Like you would wear it typically walking. You're walking, you want to listen to music, but you want to pay attention to what's going on around you at the same time. All of a sudden, things like cars going by and other people passing by and talking and all that sounds louder, but it's not. I think it's just the same volume you would hear it if you weren't listening to music.
Right.
It's a very weird thing, and there's a lot of processing going on, and it's super cool. But some of that is probably being used, I'm sure, for this hearing aid functionality.
Absolutely, yep.
It's fascinating. A lot could be done with sounds, and having like a piece of hardware like this. And again, $250, that's the main thing here. It's like for $250, assuming you already have an iPhone, if you got your iPhone, and now it's like, oh, I can spend $2,000 on hearing aids, or for $250, I get AirPods Pro that, number one, I could use as AirPods Pro. I can listen to music. I can, you know, TV shows, you know, watch stuff on my iPhone, the whole thing that you normally buy them for. And number two, then I can use them as hearing aids. They aren't that invisible. Well, I know one of the things older folks think about a lot when it comes to hearing aids is how visible they are, right? They don't like them to be visible. So a lot of the technology now makes them smaller. And even these are little antennas that stick out. Have you ever seen like the modern ones? When somebody's wearing them, it looks like they've got nothing, except it looks like little insect antenna that's coming out of the middle of their ear, which I always think is funny because I always think of like, you know, the cartoon Alien.
Sure.
That's got
sure.
antenna coming out, except these are tiny, tiny, tiny coming out, but they look like that. There's a little like dot on the end. But the idea, and they even make them like flesh colored, you know? So the idea is because it's like, oh, I don't want people to know I am using hearing aids. But AirPods Pro are kind of weird because they've become a status symbol.
Exactly.
You know, people like walking around and saying, I've got AirPods, you know, AirPods or AirPods Pro. And so it's not that much of a stigma, especially to the next generation, the Gen Xers.
Right.
Like the Gen Xers, I don't think when, you know, it comes time for me to have hearing aids for real, that I'm going to mind having AirPods Pro. Like if it was now, I would be like, that's fine. I actually walk around with AirPods Pro or AirPods all the time.
Sure.
I've gotten to the point now where when I walk the dog, they go in my ears. Sometimes I go an entire walk and I never actually play anything. They're there so that if I think, oh yeah, let me listen to my audiobook, I can tap the button and the audiobook starts. Or I could tap the other button and I could have Siri play some music. But yeah, sometimes I don't even turn them on. I don't mind them having in my ears. They're not embarrassing to have in your ears at all, as I pass by person after person after person that also has them in their ears.
Right.
So anyway, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where Apple goes with this. I think it's a no-brainer because I don't think it's like they're trying to disrupt the hearing aid industry. I think they noticed that they were already disrupting the hearing aid industry and they decided to lean into it. So,
That makes sense.
yeah.
Like I said, I'm hoping that the copycats copy.
More competition is good. There was one other interesting thing about the announcements, and many other writers have talked about this. A lot of the features of the iPhone 16 are features that have to do with Apple intelligence, you know, the AI stuff that Apple's got coming out. But none of that, virtually none of that, will be available next week when the first people get their iPhone 16s. And we knew that already. We knew back in June when they announced the new operating systems that there'll be version 0.0 of these would have almost none of the Apple intelligence features, and 0.1 would start to roll them out. And we've been seeing it. If those of us that have been beta testing already have 0.1 versions of these things, and they do indeed have Apple Intelligence features in them already working. So Apple's on track for that. But it's kind of weird that they won't have them at launch, which is something Apple, several years ago, Apple just didn't do it. And then occasionally they throw something in. Occasionally they'd be like, there's going to be a journaling app, but the journaling app isn't going to come out in September. It'll come out before the end of the year. Oh, okay, this one thing, this one brand new thing, that's going to be mid-year. And then they started doing more. Oh, there's a bunch of features. And now they're saying, the primary feature that everybody's excited about for the new operating system, new devices, that's not going to be out when you buy it or when you upgrade the operating system. That's coming out later. It's getting more and more common for companies in general to do this and for Apple to do it. And it's a weird thing because they also have the Apple Vision Pro, which we've talked about, and I still love and still use every day. But the weird thing about the Apple Vision Pro is it's the old-fashioned model of here's a piece of hardware that could obviously do all this cool stuff, there's not software for it. Like the Apple Vision Pro is very capable of creating, of allowing you to play very immersive games. Yet there really aren't any. There are a few casual games that are kind of immersive, but there's no Baldur's Gate 3 for the Apple Vision Pro, where instead of looking at a screen where it's a 3D view, you actually are looking at 3D and at 180 degrees maybe around you. You would think that they would have that available. They don't. They didn't even talk about it. It's obviously capable of doing that. That's the old model. That's the model where hardware comes out, it can obviously do things, and later on the software catches up. You can go back to the 80s. I mean, you think of how like even early arcade systems like the Atari 2600, the games were super primitive when they first came out, and they got more advanced later on. And the hardware didn't change. They produced basically the same console for 15 years. And the games got better as software developers figured out how to do cool stuff. The same thing with like the first, like the Sony PlayStation and the first Nintendo Entertainment Systems. The games got better and better over time. Lots of computers and other devices did that. The Apple Vision Pro definitely has that going for it. Like there's definitely, it's capable of more. But stuff like the iPhone 16, they're not saying, here's a cool piece of hardware and here's what it can do. Go for it. And then people can say, oh, I bet you there'll be more can do later on. No, they're advertising that as like the main feature. Get Apple 16, the iPhone 16 for the Apple Intelligence features. Asterisk, the Apple Intelligence features aren't available yet.
So this is starting to feel very, very familiar. And I hope it doesn't turn into what I've experienced personally. 8 years ago now, I purchased my Tesla. And one of
That's
the
right.
promises 8 years ago was full self-driving. 8 years ago. It still hasn't happened. The promises come and go. It's very, very interesting to see what may or may not happen with that specific feature. Anyway, the only reason it comes to mind is I desperately hope that the promises that Apple is making are things that it will actually come through.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do at least have the proof in the betas, right? And we have the proof in the fact that Apple really hasn't promised anything that you can't already get somewhere else. Like the image generation stuff in Apple Intelligence, that's not even in beta yet. However, we have Midjourney and DaVinci and all this stuff, which shows that, yes, this could easily be done. You can already do it on your iPhone if you use these other apps. So it's not the kind of thing where it's like self-driving car. I mean, nobody's got that down yet, but we promise we'll have it. So, you know, it's just weird. I would like to see Apple. I mean, granted, there was heavy pressure on Apple to come out with AI features.
Of course.
And so I'm hoping that this was like the furthest they're willing to stretch that kind of thing. And that probably there's a lot of project managers that really don't ever want to do this again. You know, like, let's have stuff ready to go at launch. Let's not promise all this stuff for later. It's a nightmare. Anyway, it's interesting to think about in terms of these features. And then, you know, hopefully by January, it won't make any difference. I'm doing my course now, you know, preparing that. And it's very weird for me because usually I finish the course. It's got all the features in it. And then that's it. I'm done the course. I launch it the day Apple launches. And, you know, there it is. I might have to update something if they change something. But I have a whole section on Apple Intelligence. I can do a couple of those videos with some of the beta stuff. But there's stuff like the image generation. I can't even do that video yet because it doesn't exist.
Right.
And yet I need that to be part of the course. So I'm just leaving a placeholder. And I'm also being very mindful in not going and, you know, in the introduction, for instance, not saying that, oh, the image generation stuff isn't there yet, but it will be, because I don't want it to seem weird in January when somebody buys the course. And then it's like, oh, what is he talking about? I want it to just like in January, everything's normal. Like that never happened. It's never a staged rollout of stuff. It's just all here now. So I've been planning ahead to let the people that buy it right now, they understand that these videos aren't there yet because the actual feature isn't there yet. And then when they do come out, then the course will look and act as a complete course then. So anyway, so that's my take on a couple of interesting footnotes for the Apple event.
So I think we've talked about this before. I'm always kind of, I'm not sure what the right word is, jealous or uncomfortable or whatever, because Apple does such a wonderful job of having a well-defined cadence of product releases of various stages. Microsoft / the Windows world is just different. It's very boring in comparison because it's not like there's one major manufacturer who is driving the new things we're seeing. It's more a matter of, okay, you know, this week Dell announced some stuff, and this week, you know, Microsoft Surface announced something, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, there's software stuff going on in Windows, but it just doesn't have the same impact that that the Apple marketing announcements have. It's funny, though, there was one that crept on my radar, and it's actually what I would call a negative announcement. And that is simply that a lot of folks who are running Windows 11 version 22H2, which is the version that was released in the second half of 2022, are apparently going to be force upgraded when the end of service for that particular version comes up, which I believe is next month. Now, it's unclear whether they're going to be force upgraded to 23H2, which is the current one, or 24H2, which is the imminent one. But it is just one of those things that It's kind of surprising. And the reason I mention it at all is because, as is so common in the Windows environment, a lot of people are going to be upset. A lot of people are upset when they're forced to do anything, and especially if this truly is a forced upgrade within Windows 11, there are some people who are going to be pretty vocal about their being upset. And I don't know whether I want to say that I'm looking forward to it, but I'm certainly expecting it over in my little corner of the world. But yes, I'm jealous of your release cadence or your, and I know that it's really, really just a marketing thing that Apple does very, very well, but nonetheless, yeah, I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, other companies do it. Google definitely does it. And other companies like Samsung try to do it too. But Apple's definitely the king of, having these events and regular releases and all this stuff.
They benefit so much by basically owning their entire ecosystem.
Oh, definitely.
They can announce new software with new hardware and like you were saying, tie it all together. Microsoft can kind of sort of do that when they make announcements within Windows, but they rely so heavily on third parties to actually make that stuff come true that it just kind of dilutes the message. Dilutes the excitement, and it dilutes a lot of the marketing opportunities, I think, in comparison. Not that they don't have things to market, they certainly do, but just in comparison to the to whatever Apple happens to be doing at the time, they're kind of behind the eight ball.
But also, if in order to do it, you have to have like a constant stream of products and different categories and everything like that. So yeah, I think we see just like I said before we started, I think we talked for quite a while about these things, and yeah, we have other things to talk about. Well, let's save those for next week.
Okay, that all sounds good. We even don't have any get off my lawn entries this
That's
week. We
fine. It's fine.
have
We don't
nothing
need
to
to be just.
complain about.
Yeah, that's good.
We have nothing to complain about. In
Right.
the cools category, this is a completely useless but guilty pleasure. It's 11foot8.com. And what it is there is a bridge that is. Has a clearance of 11 foot 8 inches, although it's now 12 foot 4, but it really isn't making much of a difference. And there are cameras, webcams pointed at this bridge constantly. And the reason is because truck after truck after truck that is higher than the bridge is low end up trying to make it under the bridge, and they don't. As you might expect, hilarity ensues. And what's interesting about this is that the wherever this bridge is, they've gone through the effort of adding a lot of signage. And in fact, they've got those, I suspect that they're either probably radar detectors that will determine if an oncoming vehicle is too high, and it'll start blinking lights and say turn now or avoid the bridge. No, people end up going under the bridge anyway. What I find interesting, though, is that I think a high percentage—I couldn't tell you how what the percentage is—but a high percentage of the trucks that end up going under the bridge or not making it all the way through are rental trucks, which implies to me that, of course, these are people that are not used to driving a big truck and they don't really understand just how tall is. And it's just funny to watch video after video after video of the bridge acting like a can opener on a box truck, and people seeing parts flying and just everything happening, and it happens again and again and again. Even though this thing is newsworthy, it's still happening. Constant, like I said, it's a guilty pleasure. If you ever want to see people just make a mess of their vehicles by driving a too high vehicle under a too low bridge, 11foot8.com is the place to go.
I suspect part of the reasoning is I've always observed that people, they don't like to be inconvenienced while driving. So like the whole idea of like, oh no, I'm gonna have to like turn here and figure out another way to go. Or maybe they're lying, maybe it's really 11 foot 10 inches, you know,
Yeah,
like
maybe
I
I
could
can
probably
squeeze in
squeeze.
there. Yes.
Yeah, because I see it all the time with people. Like, have you ever, you probably experienced this when you're in a multi-lane street and somebody that's not in the right lane or not in the left lane puts on their turn signal, comes to a stop and tries to, like, because they want to make that turn, right? And they try to convince, oh, no, let me in, let me in.
Yep.
You know, like it's, if I don't make the turn here, I'm just going to have to circle the earth. You know, I mean, that's always, you know, what my wife and I say it, like,
22,000 mile detour, yes.
it'll be okay if you go straight. There will be another way to turn right and you can course correct. Like, you don't have to turn here. I probably 30 seconds more to your drive if you go straight because you're in the wrong lane, you know, and go around. So yeah, that's people don't like, yeah, they don't. I saw when I was driving on a road in the mountains the other week, there was a car in front of me. It was a beautiful day. Car in front of me was a convertible, and we were driving and we were gaining altitude, and it got darker and darker, and I could see ahead that there was rain, or actually kind of a sleet, because we were
Right.
going up, like we're talking above 12,000 feet.
Right.
And they had the top down. And I was like, you gotta put the top up. And I'm driving right behind them. And as we approached, I could see on the road where it was wet ahead.
Yep.
And they passed one turnout after another, after another. And they passed a sign that said, do absolutely do not stop on the road. And it had turnouts. They passed that in while it already started to rain. And then when it became too much, they stopped dead in the middle of the road,
Jeez.
waited for the cover to come completely up, while me and, you know, 5, 10, 15 cars started piling up behind them. And I was like, you had so many opportunities, but you didn't want to be convenient. You thought maybe just around this bend and the weather would be better and we didn't have to stop for 10 seconds. And anyway, my Ain't It Cool is a
Apparently we
book.
did have a apparently we did have a get off my lawn today.
Yeah, here we did. My Ain't It Cool is a book I read. There's a guy named Jason Pargin, I think. Anyway, he makes interesting TikTok videos. I suspect they're also on YouTube and everything. You probably may have seen them. And he's a book author. He used to write for like cracked.com and some other sites and stuff. And he says some interesting things, and he does it all just to, he's blatant about the fact that he has to do this because it's like he has to have a social media presence and a following because he's a book author. And
Right.
that's the only way to sell books. And then his books are kind of like fun, half sci-fi-ish kinds of things that sounded like fun to read. So I decided, why not? And I gave one of his books a chance, Futuristic Violence and Fancy Suits. It was just a fun little action book, typical little setup. A woman discovers that her uncle was super rich and also kind of a bad guy. And she just inherited his entire evil empire. And she has
Okay.
to go deal with that and everybody trying to kill her because now she's suddenly worth so much, whereas nobody cared about her in the least before. Anyway, it's one of those I would call like a modern pulp novel, just a fun read to go through, nonstop like action and things going on.
In terms of self-promotion, one of the frustrating things that I've been dealing with probably for the past year is Microsoft's OneDrive. I've talked about it here before. In fact, I think I've pointed at in blatant self-promotion my article on why OneDrive's backup feature is so bad. And it has opened my eyes to the fact that people are thinking about OneDrive the wrong way. And this people includes Microsoft, which makes it even more frustrating. The article is called OneDrive is Not Backup. And honestly, it applies to OneDrive and Dropbox and Google Drive and so forth. These are file synchronization tools. But unfortunately, many people think that they are backup tools. And while they can be, you know, part of a healthy breakfast, right? Part of a healthy backup system, they are not in and of themselves a backup. And I basically took the time in this article to explain what they do, how they do it, and why it doesn't qualify as a backup, but why we can still say it can be part of a backup. So anyway, that's OneDrive is not backup. AskLeo.com/173547.
Yeah, I actually have a video. I was looking because I remember I did a video about a similar subject and I looked it up and it's iCloud is not a substitute for a time machine backup.
There you go.
And I looked up the title and I see my face there on the thumbnail and the date is February 12th, 2020. And looking at my face, I'm like, oh, you poor guy. You have no idea. You're like a month away and you have no idea. Okay. But my more recent video is how to find out what's new after a macOS or app update. I'm often asked by people like, "Hey, I updated last week, and something or some app or macOS. How do I see what's new?" Because sometimes if you miss the little announcement, you don't know. And but there are places to look in software and in app stores and online to actually see like a list of what has been changed, what's been updated, and all that. So I've got a video about that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I do believe we're done for another week. As always, folks, thanks for listening. Share us with a friend you think might be interested in what it is what Gary and I tend to sort of ramble on about every week or so. Again, thanks for listening, and we will see you here again real soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The show notes for this week are at tehpodcast.com/teh230. If you have a comment or question for us, be sure to leave it on the show notes page. The TEH podcast is hosted by Leo Notenboom of AskLeo.com and Gary Rosenzweig of MacMost.com and edited by Connie Delaney. I'm your synthetic announcer, Adam, from 11labs.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you here real soon.